you, Samuel. Appropriate to be reading 2 Samuel from our Samuel. I like to put things back or I will lose them. So they'll end up somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Today, my scripture reading is a lot shorter than Samuel's. Mine is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I was originally going to add verses 13 and 14, but as I kind of got more and more involved in looking at verse 12 and wanting to kind of share some of the insights that I had, I realized, well, maybe we'll just look at verse 12 and we'll come back to verses 13 and 14. In a future sermon, because they're dealing with something related, but a little bit different. So this morning, we're going to be looking at what is often referred to as the golden rule, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It's important to read it in the context, as I've been mentioning over the last several weeks. Matthew 7, 1 through 11 has been leading, in a sense, up to verse 12. But of course, Jesus is about to tell us that more than just the first 11 verses, this passage relates to all of the Word of God. So let me read this. Matthew 7, verse 12. This is how the ESV, English Standard Version. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Thus far, God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this text that we probably feel very familiar with. We hear it often quoted. Many folks like to say, whether they're in the church or outside the church, they live by the golden rule, that we would understand it in what you're saying in the Sermon on the Mount, in the revelation that is the Word of God, that we'd understand what you're trying to teach us and your people and your disciples of what it means to follow you and what it means to live out in our conduct before all men. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I had a little interaction with the students, young people here before. I'm going to ask you for a show of hands. I'm going to ask you a question. Most, I think everybody here lives in New England, has lived in New England for some time. You ought to be able to answer this question because you are a New Englander. And that is, how many gallons of maple sap does it take to make 1 gallon of maple syrup? Do you know what the answer is? Now, don't look at your phone. Don't start Googling or asking Siri what that answer is. I'm going to give you 4 choices. 10 gallons, 20 gallons, 40 gallons, or 60 gallons to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. How many folks think it takes 10 gallons? Any show of hands, anyone? Oh, okay. No. All right. Maybe. All right. We have one. How about 20 gallons? All right. A few. Okay. 40 gallons. A few more hands. Okay. 60 gallons. All right. The correct answer, according to Penn State University, is the average is 40 gallons. Now, for those of you who rose your hand for 20 and 60, they also noted that in some cases, depending on the season and the circumstances, 20 gallons might do it, 60 gallons it might be required, and it also depends on the thickness of the maple syrup and all these other things and so forth, okay? So it's a little bit of the average is 40 gallons to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. Today we are looking at an example that is similar to this process of making maple syrup. We're looking at the ultimate example of boiling things down to something incredibly simple. It's not maple sap this time, but the entire Old Testament. We are taking thousands and thousands of years of teaching and boiling it down to 1 proverb. Surely I must be kidding, right? I mean, how is this even possible? How can God's authoritative word coming from multiple authors, various contexts, many different centuries, be boiled down into 1 proverb or statement? That certainly can't be possible. I can understand the skepticism, but if there was 1 person who could do it, it would be Jesus. And what we have here is not golden maple syrup, but what is referred to as the golden rule. Now, this sermon took extra work. You might not think so. You might think I decided to take it easy. Just, oh, he's only doing one verse this morning. He's kind of taking it easy this Sunday. But not all passages are as easy to work through or look at. I had to do quite a bit of work on just this verse alone. Verse 12, of course, is referred to, as I've said, the golden rule. It's been mentioned, I've been mentioning and building up to it. And there's two reasons why this took a lot more time. One is because of its importance. It's the golden rule, quoted by many, misunderstood by many, sometimes wrongly applied. So we must take extra care to make sure we understand in the context of what Jesus here is telling his followers to do. As I've already said, it's summarizing the last 11 verses in that context, but really, you could say it's summarizing the Sermon on the Mount, and by Jesus' own words in this verse 12, he's saying the entire Old Testament. So it must be, we must take our time and make sure we get it right when we say what is the golden rule. And the second reason why it took a little bit more time is because it's important to read it in the original Greek language. Jesus, who spoke Aramaic, a dialect that was common in Roman Palestine, Matthew records this in Greek. And what we often look at is a translation of the Greek, right? Every time we read it in English, we're looking at a translation. I use primarily on Sunday mornings the ESV, but there are many different English translations of the New Testament. ESV, NIV, NSAB, there's many, many, many. New King James Version, I can go on. And to be very honest and frank, I don't like the ESV version very much. I dislike it. Maybe it's because I'm more familiar with the NIV version. So in everything due to others, what you would have them to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. But I decided it's not enough to just say, I don't like it. What is Jesus actually saying in the Greek? So I decided last Sunday night when fireworks, 4th of July, fireworks were going crazy. Luca, my dog who hates fireworks, she's running around the house like nuts because, you know, everyone in my neighborhood is using fireworks. I decided, and I ended up getting lost for several hours looking at the actual Greek of what Jesus here is saying. And I found it very, very interesting. And so I think it might benefit us in a similar way to look at it in much more depth, given what it's called the golden rule. So let me just tell you, I'm not going to go over what I did for several hours on Sunday night. We don't have that kind of time this morning. And I wish, I was telling Matthew before the service, before we were praying, I wish I had a big screen and I could show you the Greek and show you how this verse is constructed. Because even in the way that it is constructed is interesting. It's an interesting way in which how Jesus goes to give us this golden rule. If I were to show it to you in the Greek, you would see it and you could see it reflected in English. There's three parts to this verse. There is a brief introduction tying together what just was said in verses 1 and 11. And then there's a proverb, and it's clearly a proverb, and I'll explain why when we get to it. And then there is a concluding statement, sort of giving further context to this proverb. Think of this passage, this verse, like a sandwich, two pieces of bread with meat inside. And that meat is the proverb that appears in the middle of this verse. The first piece of bread is this introduction, this comment, which is very simple in the ESV, but it's a little bit more complicated in the Greek as far as what Christ is trying to get across. A literal rendition of the introduction is, so all or in everything, in so much as you ever want. Now that's kind of rough, but that's the literal. That's like English, from the Greek to the English. So maybe let me try smoothing it out a little bit in what Jesus is saying in this introduction. So in everything, how you would want it done. Let me say that again. So in everything, how you would want it done. The introduction makes it clear it is about conduct, about how we behave, how we act, how we would like to be treated. Verses 1 through 11 in chapter 7 have all been about conduct, about do not condemning others. Verses 1 through 5, do not judge, do not condemn. Do not speak to dogs and pigs. Again, talking about our conduct. And then verses 7 through 11, about our conduct about praying. Remember, we talked about ask, seek, knock. So all of this has been about our conduct. Don't condemn others. Don't speak to dogs and pigs. pray for others. And so then Jesus summarizing about our conduct and how we conduct ourselves gives us and ties us together with a proverb. What he's trying to get across is this is what followers of Jesus are to look like. He's connecting that with this very clever, clever proverb. The proverb, as I've said, is the meat in the sandwich here in verse 12. Like most proverbs, it has two stanzas with a subject. The subject actually is not as readily is seen as clearly in the English translations, but it is the Greek word anthropos, which is or should be translated humanity. Most translations use others, but the Greek word here is anthropos. It is where we get the word anthropology from, the study of humanity. So Jesus puts right in the center of this proverb, humanity, all of humanity. He has all of humanity in view. That's how he wants us to understand this, how to apply this. Hence why I think it's called the golden rule, because it is a rule that is applied for everyone. Now, certainly he's talking to his disciples, but what he's saying to his disciples, this is how you are to treat humanity, anthropos, others, as many English translations put it. Now, the proverb then goes like this, and I tried to put it in the outline in the Greek, how it reads. And the two stanzas are, so that do you people to the humanity, you people do to them. Okay, that's a literal kind of a understanding of the proverb itself. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm not trying to be too literal here, but let me comment and smooth it out a little bit. What's interesting is that Jesus uses the same Greek combo in both stanzas of the proverb. He just reverses the second one. It's almost exactly the same. He says, to do, you people, and then in the second stanza, reverses it and says, you people, to do. And so that's what I'm wanting you to see in the Greek here, to try to show it that he's sort of showing us this idea of a mirror. His proverb is a mirror in itself, which is why I'm using this as an illustration this morning. Whoops. Oh, didn't mean to grab that. This proverb is like a mirror. He's saying, you people do, and then do this back. He wants us to see this as a mirror, a reflection. How would you want to be treated? Then do that to others. Do that to anthropos, to humanity. And then Jesus concludes and says something which is just is incredible, and only he could say something like this. He literally says in his concluding statement, the law and the prophets, he says literally, for this is to be the law and the prophets. That's what it is in the Greek. For this is to be the law and the prophets. A summarization, the Old Testament. Jesus' Proverbs, which is 10 words in the Greek, is summing up all of the Old Testament of ethical and moral teaching. Jesus is saying himself here that this is bigger than the context of chapter 7. It's bigger than the context of the Sermon on the Mount. The golden rule is that important in the life of a believer. Now, as I've already said or I've indicated, I don't like the ESV translation. I would defer to the NSAB, but actually, at a surprise move, because it's not often thought of as the best translation, my favorite, I think, gets and reflects what is happening here is the NIV. I think it gets the mirror, and I think it's trying to reflect that and saying that. The NIV says, so in everything, do to others that you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, what makes the golden rule so remarkable and what makes it so special is it does something that is so, so difficult to do. Over many millennia, centuries, theologians, philosophers, in an attempt to maybe explain their own outlook on the world or how humanity, anthropos, is to treat one another, has tried to summarize their beliefs. So whether we're looking at Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Greek philosophies, or any philosophy, many try to summarize their teachings into one proverb, one sentence, and some attempt to do that, and some do it better than others. It's not an easy thing to do. When I was in grad school and I took a class on preaching, One of the things that my preaching professor had us do as an exercise was that he gave us a particular passage and said, now write a 30-minute sermon on this passage. So we turned in our work. He gave it back to us and said, now do a 20-minute sermon on that same passage. And you can kind of see where this is going. Then he said, do a 10-minute sermon on this passage. Now do a 5-minute sermon on this passage. He kept asking us to distill down and down and down to 5 minutes. The problem with this, with that is often when trying to boil it down to one sentence, a proverb, you might risk leaving something out. Something gets lost as you're doing that. Often when human beings try to do that, proverbs or summaries come up short. But what is remarkable about the golden rule here is that in one sentence, 10 Greek words, Jesus says, look inward and you can lead outward. How you live. He does what very few people could do. He summarizes in one sense the Old Testament. How to treat others is determined in how you would want to be treated. You can think of it as Jesus says, look inward, and how you treat others outwardly. I would use the imagery of a mirror. Look in the mirror and do that. Apply that outwardly to others. How you would want to be treated, treat others. But what is also remarkable about the golden rule is that Jesus gives us a positive command, not a negative one. It is one that is active, not passive. Now, what do I mean by this? There was an article, there's a website, I don't know if you've ever looked at it, it's called Got Questions, it's Christian run, where they address this, I think, rather well. And they talk about the fact that there's this widely held belief that the golden rule is a rule that is universal. It's not unique to Christianity. They make this observation that many people believe the golden rule is one that is universal. And so they go on to talk about that the golden rule actually is actually not found in any other religion or philosophical system or has its equal. The golden rule is often described as an ethics of reciprocity, but that's not exactly what we see here. Frequently, critics, secular humanists, attempt to explain away the golden rule by saying it is this common ethic understanding that all religions share. But Jesus makes an important distinction in the golden rule. And this can even be seen very plainly by looking at what other religions might say about how to treat others. In Confucianism, do not do to others what you would want them to do to you. In Hinduism, this is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Buddhism, hurt not others in a way that you yourself would find hurtful. Now, these all sound similar, but they are stated in a negative way and rely on passivity. In the sense of don't do something. Jesus, when he speaks on the golden rule here, is a positive command and shows that we are to do something, to be proactive. The Eastern religions and many secular humanists say, refrain from doing this. Jesus actually teaches, do this. Other religions and philosophies say, don't hold back that negative behavior, be in check. Jesus says, no. I want you to do something. Jesus is telling us to do, not to resist. Now, maybe you are still skeptical on this whole fact that at the very end of verse 12, Jesus says this summarizes the law and the prophets. Does the golden rule really accomplish that? Does Jesus really, in 10 Greek words, summarize everything that has been said before them? Is it even possible? John Stott, the theologian of All Souls in London, made this observation that indeed what we see in the Old Testament is that we are being taught about two realities, that one, God is our Father, and that we who call ourselves followers of God treat one another as a family, as brother and sisters. A lot of what we see in the Old Testament is what we are, how we are to relate to God and how we are to relate to other individuals, how we're to even treat the family of God. It is very, very then concluded in the Old Testament that it is not an individualistic religion, but at the heart of what it means to follow God is that we are to be a faith community, a community that is under the lordship of God. that we are to live that way and be an example. Now, when we read the Old Testament, and when we look at even as Jesus is teaching, do we not see the same thing? Is that not what the law and the prophets remind us of? Is that not what the Gospels remind us of? Is that not what the Sermon on the Mount reminds us of? And so Jesus here is summarizing about how we conduct ourselves under the authority of God. I think he's absolutely done it. I think in 10 words he has in a proverb taught us about how we are to live as a faith community. Now, as I've already mentioned, many times when folks read or hear the golden rule, I think a lot of times they hear it somewhat devoid of Christ and the rest of the gospel. They hear it as a human-centered, secular sort of proverb of which we are to hear to. And I'll explain why in a minute, why I think that is easy to do. But what I wanted to get to as far as application this morning is the fact that what we have here in the Golden Rule is surrounded by the one who has been teaching about what it means to follow him, by not just some, it comes out of the air someplace, but rather comes from the second member of the Trinity. Jesus is our claim of hope and salvation and redemption. It is in Christ alone in which we are saved. The gospel affirms that we are saved by faith, not by our own merit, but by the merit of Christ. And after that, making that decision that Christ enables us to make, we are called to follow him as a responsibility to participate in then what it means to be a follower of Christ. So our salvation is in Christ alone, but our justification is in Christ alone. But then we walk in our sanctification, alive in him, in obedience, in faith. We are to be, sometimes I'll refer to it as to be Christ-like. And the Sermon on the Mount, I would argue, is a lot about what it means to be Christ-like in our faith journey. What we are to look like as Christians. Christ says it as much as he does in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes he starts with are the standard. This is what you are to look like. This is what it means to be a follower of me. And then he goes on to expound what those Beatitudes look like all through the Sermon on the Mount. He even says our righteousnesses exceed that of the religious establishment of that day. And then I think to summarize to us, here's the Beatitudes and what we are to look like. He goes into various teachings. Jesus gives us the golden rule, an easy thing in which for us to follow. But as I've just said, the golden rule is one of those funny things. Here we have it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount coming from the second member of the Trinity. But often the golden rule will be quoted and you won't hear that context presented. It will be quoted many times. I think most folks think it's a universal axiom, something that everyone believes in all of humanity. Many have then gone on to try to suggest that it's not uniquely Christian. It is something that can be found in all areas and aspects. But I think I've tried to address that already to a certain degree. But what I see often practiced when it comes to the golden rule is that it's sort of like, it is that this is how we are to live. And they might take also what was said in verse 1, do not judge, and say that's really how all human beings or the world is to be. We're just to be good people. We're not to judge others, and we're to live by the golden rule. And so the golden rule then becomes very man-centered, individualistic, amoral, and in many ways, secular. Jesus and the gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, and Christianity get jettisoned from the golden rule. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but it does seem like that do not judge and the golden rule are teachings that are found outside the church that people love to embrace, but not provide the context to. They like to maybe try to interpret it in their own way what it means to do not judge or to keep to the golden rule. Now, the problem here, of course, is this, that if you live by those two principles, but you've jettisoned Christ and the Sermon on the Mount and all of what it comes to, those two rules then become highly subjective. Meaning you then determine, it is you who decide what it means to do not judge or the golden rule. The authority then to those teachings is yourself. You have made it humanistic. You have made it all about yourself. It's shocking, by the way, just Google the golden rule, not now, not on your phones or your iPads, I'll do it later. Okay, but if you do it, it's amazing how much it is quoted by all kinds of authors and theologians and philosophers and people who don't actually provide any context where it comes from. They just say it's a universal principle. But actually what I'm trying to get across here this morning is that it's not. It isn't. Jesus is the one who said it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount and the context of the gospel. And if I'm being too blunt here, I apologize. But when we do, when we start quoting the golden rule and do not judge, and we kind of put ourselves as the authority there, as we are saying that this is a universal axiom, we are committing plagiarism. Because basically, we're basically saying, no, this is the rule that I live by, and I do not judge, or I live by the golden rule. And when you say that without providing any context and who said it and where it was said, that's plagiarism. I could ask Laura if, I know Laura's visiting her family right now, but Laura probably takes this quite seriously as she's teaching in her university courses. You don't take credit for things that aren't yours. And how often people take credit for the golden rule and do not judge and live by it and interpret it in their own way without quoting Christ is scandalous. It's all too common. How many times folks do this? We need to read it as Christians in this context. Now, true, we can't be in control what other people are going to say and do. When they want to quote the golden rule or do not judge or whatever it is that they want to take out of scripture and take it out of context, we can't do anything necessarily about it. But we who are Christians and followers of Christ must be clear. And we must be clear of whom said it and in what context. And we should be quick to share even when maybe others do say the golden rule and say that, no, this is a general practice and rule, to say, no, actually, it's not. It's not a general principle and rule. It actually comes from the Lord of creation. It comes from the second member of the Trinity. It comes from the greatest sermon ever preached on this planet. And to suggest anything otherwise is madness and plagiarism. We, as the people of God, need to look at this as our standard. Live it out in the gospel, follow Christ, which means he summarizes for us in the golden rule. Now, this proverb, as I'm closing here, this proverb, I think, is easy to remember, but as often as many things are, hard to apply. It's not because it requires a lot of brain power. I mean, it's pretty easy, right? Do unto others as you would have do unto you. But in the context of our faith in Christ, we need his help and assistance to be able to do that. But we must remember that as we do that in his lordship, in his direction, by his spirit, that we are to be positive. It is an active command. Not a negative one. He's not refraining from us doing things. He's telling us to do something and to do it with all of anthropos in mind. We are to lead inwardly like a mirror. Look at how we would want to be treated and then do that outwardly. Apply it. How we treat our neighbors, strangers, anyone is how then we are to live by the golden rule. My prayer is that we as the church, as Christ followers, would demonstrate this better than anyone else. People love to espouse that they follow the golden rule. But maybe indeed we as followers of Christ have this advantage. We have its context. We know the author. We know the person who said it. And we have him living and working in us. Our Lord and Savior has commanded it. Then let us do as we can to glorify him. Let's pray. Lord, you give us this a very simple proverb. And how we are to conduct ourselves. And is often quoted, it's quoted outside of scripture, it's even quoted as saying, no, this doesn't come from Jesus, this is a universal principle. And yet there is evidence that shows to the contrary that it's not a universal principle. It's not one. Lord, I pray that we, the church, who are the body of Christ, would live out what it is, the golden rule that you are espousing us to. That we would do, we would conduct ourselves, how we conduct ourselves with all of humanity, how we would conduct ourselves so that we might glorify you and to make you known. Lord, show us what that looks like. And Lord, you show us in the most brilliant and easy way possible that all we have to do is look in the mirror. How would we want to be treated? How would we want to treat that person? How would we want to be treated? Lord, I pray that we would consider this amazing moment in this teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, and do a better job of reflecting Christ as you have made us and how you've created us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.